Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Shooting in Newton, we've got the story.
Firefighters reporting progress in battling California blazes. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Phil Hildebrand. A Southeast Kansas man faces life in prison for fatally burning a woman and injuring two police officers.
I'm Rodney Price. There's a record number of candidates for the governor's race.
There's a backlog of bodies in Arizona, and funeral directors say technology is to blame. I'm ABC's Brian Clark. I'll have details coming up.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. We're now getting into the habit of grabbing the jacket each morning, but likely won't need it by afternoon time. Our forecast is coming up.
A fourplex fire this morning on Wichita's Near East Side. Just after 4 a.m., first responders were called to the apartments at 455 North Indiana. There are no injuries reported. 911 dispatch tells us 12 people were receiving help from the Red Cross. Newton police are searching for a suspect after a shooting left one person injured Sunday night. Newton Police Chief Eric Murphy says the incident happened in the 400 block of Normandy Drive. Officers say a homeowner saw a man trying to steal a car, and when he confronted the man, police say the victim was shot several times. Suspect ran away. Murphy says the victim is now out of surgery and in good condition. Newton police believe the suspect is armed and dangerous.
Environmental concerns following an oil rig explosion at Lake Pontchartrain near Kenner, Louisiana. Seven workers transported to hospitals, another person missing. Hours after the blast late yesterday, but no immediate word on fatalities. Sheriff Joseph Lapinto of St. Charles Parish has more information.
There is one person that is still possibly unaccounted for at this time. We have several boats still conducting a search and rescue mission.
Firefighters in Northern California are seeing success in their battle against those massive and deadly wildfires.
The flames here have been calming, and now the forecast indicates later in the week it could even rain. Fire Captain Rick Crawford says they have lots of work to do before the rain arrives.
We don't want to rely on that actually happening. We'd rather actually take care of this before the rain gets here, and then that's our insurance policy.
The number of missing here from the fires has been dropping, but it's still above 150 people, and now detectives are trying to track them down. Alex Stone, ABC News, Santa Rosa, California.
A Kansas prosecutor has filed first-degree murder and other charges against a man suspected of fatally burning a woman and injuring two police officers during a confrontation.
Cherokee County Attorney Jake Connard's office says 49-year-old Harvey Raymond Ortberg is accused of dousing 65-year-old Sharon Horn with gasoline and setting her on fire September 30th at her Baxter Springs home. She later died at a Springfield, Missouri hospital. Other charges include burglary, arson, and the attempted murder of two responding officers who were also burned. Missouri and Kansas officials couldn't immediately confirm whether Ortberg has an attorney. Once he's released from the hospital and extradited to Kansas, he'll be held on a $1 million bond. He faces life in prison without the possibility of parole for at least 50 years. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
Kansas has a record number of candidates for the early stages of its 2018 governor's race.
Even high school students are joining the elected officials and prominent business figures voters would normally expect. 18 candidates have appointed treasurers or committees for a campaign next year, a requirement to raise money. There are 11 Republicans, 6 Democrats, and an independent. More are likely. The Libertarian Party is expected to have a nominee, and another independent candidate may get into the race. But no women are running yet. Still, a current number of candidates tops the previous record of 16 on the primary and general election ballots in 1964. Governor Sam Brownback is term limited, but is expected to step down this fall anyway to become U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
KNSS News time now, 8:05, 5 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Kansas City Chiefs putting their undefeated record on the line in action yesterday. You heard the game here on KNSS. We'll have results and highlights coming up in sports.
A backlog of bodies in Arizona. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Police arrested Kansas City High School social studies teacher Ethan Dane Huff Friday, following a report of an unlawful relationship with a juvenile student.
27-year-old Huff was arrested on suspicion of unlawful sexual relations. Huff was booked into the Cowley County Jail. The district released the following statement regarding Ethan Huff's arrest. Student safety is our top priority. We take these allegations very seriously and are cooperating fully with law enforcement. At this time, we have no other information to report, said Dr. Ron Ballard, superintendent of schools. A school district official confirms Ethan Huff has been suspended from all duties with USD 470. Amy Webb, KNSS News.
In Washington today, President Trump meets with the Senate's GOP leader. ABC's David Wright says there may be a slight chill in the air.
This will be their first meeting since the Senate failed to pass that latest version of the Obamacare repeal. The president since then has had some less than kind things to say about McConnell's leadership, but the White House tells us that the two spoke by telephone and that this meeting is about how they're going to work together to push forward the fall agenda.
A funeral director in Arizona calls a backlog of bodies brought on by technical problems a chaotic mess, and he says the state was not prepared.
Arizona shifted to an online platform to record deaths in the state. But since that database went live October 2nd, some funeral directors and doctors say it's given them so many problems in generating death certificates, there's now a backlog of bodies at funeral homes. State officials did not carry out a full trial of the system because of technical challenges, and the public health director in Maricopa County warned state officials their fears the county may have to store bodies in refrigerated trucks. State officials say they've only found six funeral homes at capacity and just 12 families who've experienced delays. Brian Clark, ABC News.
KNSS News time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We do have a traffic accident at this hour in North Wichita. This is on the southbound lanes of I-135 at 37th North. It's in the far right lane, a van and another car involved in an accident there, and that's really slowing down traffic up north on I-135 near 37th North. We also have a traffic stop in Wichita at Zimmerly and Rock Road, and a canine unit has been called out to that case.
Wow.
So maybe investigating that traffic stop there at Zimmerly and Rock. Traffic update, KNSS with Steve and Ted.
And now the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Cool, dry air across south-central Kansas will keep our weather quiet not only today, but for much of the work week with a gradual warming trend coming up. Our high 69 with sunshine, mostly clear, not as cool tonight. Our low 46, 73 by Tuesday. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now a fair sky. South wind at 6 miles per hour. We're down to 39 degrees. We were at 40 degrees for a couple of 3 hours there. Now we're down to 39. Police in New Hampshire say a man and woman used fake money to buy fried dough at an annual pumpkin festival. Laconia police say 24-year-old Christopher Green and 23-year-old Holly Solens passed a fake $100 bill at a fried dough stand Saturday evening. Police say Green took off on foot after police approached them. The two refused bail and are being held in jail. Police say the fake $100 bills had a red Chinese symbol on them, apparently the symbol for counterfeit money, trying to buy fried dough with phony dough. A drone delivery service has announced a new partnership with a Reno, Nevada-based ambulance company. The Reno Gazette-Journal reports the drone delivery company, Flirty, announced it is working with the Regional Emergency Medical Services Authority, allowing responders to send an automated external defibrillator by air, in addition to an ambulance dispatch, for every emergency call involving cardiac arrest. So in Reno, what they're experimenting with is every time there's a heart attack call, 911, they're going to send out a drone with one of those defibrillator machines. Now, hoping that the person who receives the drone and the machine knows how to use the defibrillator. It's not terribly complicated, but once they get it there, I'm sure the dispatcher can get on the phone and say, here's the way you do it. And it could save, drones could wind up saving somebody's life. A man arrested in Florida after police mistook donut glaze in his car for meth has received a $37,500 settlement. Daniel Rushing told the Orlando Sentinel he received a check last week from the city of Orlando. Now, he was arrested in December 2015 when Corporal Shelby Riggs Hopkins spotted flakes of glaze on his car's floorboard and thought they were pieces of crystal methamphetamine. Rushing told officers it was likely sugar from Krispy Kreme donuts he'd eaten, but roadside drug tests were positive for the illegal substance. A state crime lab cleared Rushing several weeks later, and he filed the lawsuit. Orlando police ended up training more than 730 officers how to properly use the field test kits. So there seems to be, in their method of using the field test kit, they did not apparently get it right. 8:14 now, Steve and Ted, and had an interesting weekend. Ted, you know, I missed the show Friday because I was out late Thursday partying. No, I had already planned to not be here that day. Thursday night, my brother Jerry and I attended the West High School Sports Hall of Fame ceremony.
Ah, very nice.
They started this a couple of years ago, and they've been inducting people into the Sports Hall of Fame, took in about 9 people, and they took in a whole team Thursday night, the 1965-66 West High football team, which was undefeated and untied, and they took the whole team, and several of the members were there.
How about that? That's guys, nice. Yeah, that's good.
Guys I hadn't seen for years, and my late brother was a central part of that team. Mike was one of their stars. And
yeah, what position did he play?
He played. He was a running back, and on defense, I believe he was playing linebacker. He played both ways, and he was kind of a beast, really. But
who was the coach on that?
That's Ed Crewell.
Eddie Crewell, okay.
Yeah, and the thing was that Mike died in 2011, but Jerry and I were there to kind of represent him, mm-hmm. to get a certificate and whatnot and pose for pictures, and it was really, really kind of nice.
That's,
I ran into
that's nice.
A number of people there who said they listened to Steve and Ted. They like what we do. One man complimented me on the weekend show, the Issues show, said he liked to listen to that every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And so, and I saw, like I said, a number of people that I hadn't seen for many, many years. And I won't go into the names. You wouldn't know who they are anyway. But these are a lot of people who are past athletes. I wanted to just talk about one person. At the end of all the festivities, they honored Nick Taylor, who graduated in 1998, 3-time Paralympic gold medalist.
Wow.
Nick is confined to a wheelchair. And he doesn't have all those great big athletic arms and legs that the rest of us had. And it showed a video of him playing tennis mm-hmm. in that wheelchair. Fantastic. And they saved him toward the end so all of us could say, look, here's what can really be. Here's a real champ for you. Nick, it was nice to meet Nick.
Very nice.
And,
yeah, that's pretty
and
good.
See what he had done. In fact, he went out for tennis in a wheelchair at West and made the team. So he's in a wheelchair playing against these other guys.
Very nice.
And, wow.
Good for him.
It was a... they also honored the 1954-55 football team, which won the Arc Valley, the 9-1 first league title in school history. Two of the players from that team were there. Well, there were several, but two of them that who were coaches of my junior high football coaches were there.
Oh my god!
Believe
gosh.
That?
Wow!
John McKay and Dan Jones were there. So anyway, my brother and I just had a ball. We were there with some of our friends.
That was Thursday night.
That was Thursday night, and it's. You know, if you've got one of these at your school, Sports Hall of Fame, by all means, it's a neat thing to do. Build some tradition if you're at East, North, wherever you are. We're getting started at West, and it's a lot of fun. All right.
Did you all go to the West game on Friday night then?
I didn't go this one last Friday. I went to the one last Friday night. So they had that, and a lot of festivities going on over there at the school. 8:18 now with Steve and Ted, and Sports Time with Ted Woodward. We're talking about the Chiefs this morning. They were trying to stay undefeated Sunday, but things didn't work out quite the way we wanted them, right, Ted?
No, they really did not.
Ooh.
It was one of those days. The Chiefs were taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday up at Arrowhead Stadium. A lot of excitement going into this one. The Chiefs, the only undefeated team left in the NFL at 5-0. Offense averaging 33 points a game.
And
tops in the NFL. However, the Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a bad home loss were really, really good on the road yesterday. And of course, this was the last team that beat the Chiefs back in January in the playoffs. And this game was very, very similar to that one. A game in which the Chiefs' offense could not get anything going against the Steelers' defense. The Chiefs could not run the ball, nor could the Chiefs stop Pittsburgh's running game with Le'Veon Bell. It was very similar to the playoff loss in January. Once again, the Steelers kind of took control and yeah, and the Steelers did get some lucky breaks yesterday. Yeah. You heard the game right here. Mitch Holtis had the call. on your home of the Chiefs, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Third down and two. Shotgun snap back to Roethlisberger, throwing left, long, tipped, then caught at the 30, at the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Pittsburgh on a tip pass. It'll go as a 51-yard touchdown pass. The Chiefs nearly picked it, and instead it was deflected. And into the hands, Philip Gaines had an interception go through his hands and into the waiting arms of Antonio Brown.
So you kind of get the point right there. Yeah. Instead of an interception, ball gets tipped and the Steelers get six points out of it.
Yeah.
So kind of that type of day. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is now 6-1 all time. He owns the Chiefs. Kansas City just never could get anything going. They only had one first down in the entire first half. And even though the final score was only 19-13, it really wasn't that close. The Steelers really seemed to have things in control most of the way in this game. And every time the Chiefs did get one of their few chances, they just never seemed to be able to cash in. Here's Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
Things happen in this league. I mean, that's why teams don't go undefeated very often. So you don't want it to happen. The guys don't want it to happen. The coaches don't want it to happen. It did. And you've seen the parity in this league. These things happen. Teams bounce back. You know, I mean, a week ago they were getting beat by, the Jags, and they bounce back. So you do the same thing. That's the league.
Here's Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith.
A bunch of self-inflicted stuff. Just didn't execute at all on a fundamental level, you know, all across the board.
So, first loss of the year for the Chiefs. They fall to 5-1, and they don't have much time for self-pity. They turn right around and play on Thursday night at Oakland. So, just three nights from now, back at it. So, we'll have that game for you Thursday night when the Chiefs visit the Raiders inside division play, coming off a loss. We'll talk about the Jayhawks football tonight over on KFH. KU Football Hawk Talk, head coach David Beatty. That's 6 o'clock this evening, and that's over on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM. Another great weekend for the 22nd-ranked Shocker volleyball team. Two more wins, including a sweep yesterday over Tulsa. First time the Shocks and Tulsa have played in volleyball in 18 years. It's the WSU Volleyball Coaches Show with head coach Chris Lamb, along with the voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy. That's at 6:30 tonight right here on KNSS, broadcasting live from AJ's Sports Grill at the Alley at 13th and K96. Go have dinner tonight with Coach Lamb and Mike Kennedy out at AJ's at the Alley. And the Major League Baseball playoffs tonight for the American League pennant. It's Game 3, best-of-seven series. The Houston Astros in New York taking on the Yankees. The Astros won the first two games at home in Houston, have a 2-0 lead over the Yankees in that best of seven for the American League pennant. Game 3 tonight in the Bronx. Listen to it live at 7 o'clock on KFH. That's sports with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
All right, 8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Did NBC spike the Weinstein story? That story coming up, Steve, at 10 in the morning on KNSS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.